I know more about sports than you, good sir.
Tis to laugh. Dare I say my grandmother could outsport you any day of the week.
Gentlemen, may I borrow your ear for a moment?
But of course!
BetDSI.net is an awesome site where you can play for free and win real cash. Are you a sports nut with a lot of confidence?
Thoroughly.
Maybe you're a casual fan with a flair for the stats.
Guilty!
Put your knowledge to the test and win real cash at BetDSI.net. It's fun, it's entertaining, and it's just another way to enjoy the sport you already love. It's BetDSI.net.
Huzzah!
This is the number one noon hour hockey show in Canada. This is Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Live on game day for Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey. Darren Millard in the Hockey Central studio, looking forward to the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Toronto Maple Leafs. And you know what that conversation will be like tonight. Toronto trying to score some goals and the Tampa Bay Lightning trying to deal with a couple of star players. We'll touch on both those conversations as well with Mike Babcock coming up on Hockey Central and Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey this evening. 6:30 pregame show, 7 o'clock puck drop. Darren Millard here in HC with Nick Kypreos, Doug McLean, and on the phone, on the line is Jason York from the NHL on Sportsnet. He is our Montreal Canadian analyst. As Montreal is swept by the worst team in the National Hockey League for the first time since the mid-1980s, when they lost back-to-back to the Toronto Maple Leafs. If you could change one thing, Jason, one thing, and then Doug and Nick follow up on it, what would you change with the Montreal Canadiens right now? And it can't be magically making Carey Price healthy.
Okay, you stole what I was going to say. Oh, boy, if I could change one thing, I would bring in an older veteran player that has been through something like this and can settle this group down. That's what I would bring in.
Doug, what would you do?
Well, I hate to say this. I really, really hate to say this, but I would replace the coach. I look at it, and I've never seen a team. I get the whole price loss. I understand the price loss, but I've never seen a team fold the tent like I've seen this group in the last 25 games. It has been bizarre to me.
Well, and a contending team. You saw it from Toronto last year.
The problem is, and I don't think Therrien deserves to be fired because of price. I understand that. But if you want to make the playoffs, as much as I would hate to see it happen, I think you have to do it. So, I think you've got it.
So
this
you
group
will take,
is not responding.
Before, Kipri, what would you do?
You will take I'm with Jason. I need something in a roster change. We talked about this last week, that outside of, well, you got Pacioretty, who's inexperienced as a captain, carrying this type of weight in that type of market. Other than PK Subban, what voice do you have in there? What is it? Markov? No. Is it Pekanets? No.
Is it PK? No.
But can a veteran player?
I said outside of PK.
And I'm saying PK, okay. No.
Jason,
whatever the case is, there isn't anything in that room that can be that calming influence other than Carey Price.
So Jason and Nick, how long would it take a veteran player to assert himself to that point?
And can I ask, just add one thing before Jason? And who's looking to give up these guys right now? The guy you're talking about.
You keep going back to Eric Staal, but we'll follow up on that one. But how long would it take a veteran guy to have a say, to be able to feel comfortable to have that say?
Or to say something.
Right.
I look at this room, and Nick, you said something. I listened to you guys yesterday. I think it was you, Nick, or perhaps Doug. And sometimes,
if it was good, it was me.
You guys were talking about Carey Price. And I'm not saying, to your point, Darren, you magically bring him back, but there's just something to be said about having a guy in your locker room that just calms everybody down. And I played with these guys, and just when you walk into the room, you see that guy, you know he's playing. And this has nothing to do with how this player performs on the ice. It's just, you look at this guy, and he's calm. You guys remember what Price said? I think it was a couple seasons ago. He got off to a bad start, and the media was saying, well, what are you doing? And when Price said,
chill.
I think it was chill.
Chill.
That's all he said. He said chill.
That was 5 years ago. 5 years ago, he was 23 years old.
And it was an exhibition
game. And he had that in him then. And,
exactly.
And, you know, and we all rolled our eyes saying, 23 years old, who are you that you want to tell everybody? And he nailed it. He nailed it.
He did. But he just, when you play with guys like that, you just know everything's going to be okay. And I know he's the best goaltender in the world. He's arguably the best player in the world, but he's also got one of the best personalities to play in a market like that, because when everyone's running around like a chicken with their head cut off, it's Carey Price that calms that team down on the ice and in the locker room.
But,
they don't have that guy.
But he's not going to be there for another month. And when he comes back, they're going to have 16 or so games left.
What's apparent is missing.
But yeah, I know it's missing. But yeah. What does this say about this group, Jason?
They lack leadership.
They lack leadership, but is it just leadership they lack? I mean, I'm watching dumb penalties. I'm watching unbelievable.
That's part of leadership.
I'm
though,
watching
isn't it?
Unbelievable giveaways. I'm watching a power play that's abysmal. I'm watching. I mean, what's it? I'm watching guys that can't make a pass. And I get the leadership, and I get Carey Price, but come on. I've never seen such a colossal collapse because of one player.
And, Doug, I'm not saying Pacioretty is a bad leader. I just don't think
– he's just not ready for this just yet.
Well, it's the guys around him. Andre Markov is 37 years old, and I see game after game after game Max Pacioretty standing up and addressing the media. If you have an assistant captain letter on your jersey, I'm sorry. Sometimes you have to stand in there too and
totally.
Take some of the questions. And it doesn't matter what country you're from.
I agree.
So
chatting with Jason York, Darren,
I want to get into
Nick
this
Kiprios
a little bit,
and Doug McLean on Hockey Central at noon.
And I can appreciate Doug saying that a coach replacement is in order. But how can you have your general manager stand there a week ago and look people in the eye and say it's on me and then turn around and firing him? You know what that would do to Bergevin's credibility?
That would
haunt him the rest of his career.
I know.
Okay?
I know.
You can't go down that path.
And he shouldn't have gone there.
But he went down there because he knew it wasn't an option, and he was comfortable enough to say that it was not an option changing the coach, and I will put my name and reputation on the line in front of the world to see.
And how can he be comfortable saying that with the way his team's playing?
How is different?
How can he be comfortable saying that?
How he got there, I have no idea.
And why would he go there?
Why he went there, I have no idea.
And I'll tell you.
But he did go there.
And you know what?
He did.
And let me just give you a little tip.
And there ain't going back.
And let me give you a little tip. 90% of coaches that are fired in the league, maybe not 90, but in the high 70s, guess who fires them?
Yes, I know.
Who?
We know.
Who?
The owners.
Yeah.
The owners.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. Now, I don't think Molson goes against Bergevin, because Bergevin has lots of credibility. And I know Bergie stood up and said that. And I believe you when you say he won't be fired because of that. I'm saying.
He made a mistake.
I'm saying
with
that
those
that
comments.
Was. I think
that's
if you
fine.
Want, you, what other coach would have survived this in the National Hockey League? What other coach? Mike Babcock, because he's on an 8-year deal? Who would have survived this colossal? They're, since December 1st, they're the 30th place team in the league.
Bergevin is smart enough, Jason, to know where his owner stands prior to that conference last week.
And you know what? That was before they lost two in a row to the 30th place team in the league.
You don't think Bergevin looked at the schedule and said, like, I know what's on the line here.
You know what I think Bergie thought? I think Bergie said, okay, we've got Toronto, chance, after my speech. We've got Columbus back-to-back. We've got Carolina coming up. I think he looked at the schedule and thought, we got a chance to come out of this.
What's different about this team, if anything, after the All-Star break, in just being able to get away, Jason? When they get a lineup against the Philadelphia Flyers, is being able to flush it out of your system for 5 days enough to turn it around?
Getting out of the city of Montreal right now, because being there at the game last night when they started booing PK, and he stood up and took the music after, and he said, I was bad. I didn't have a good game, and I credit him for that. But I just think getting out of the city, going somewhere else, not thinking about hockey for four straight days and recharging the batteries and coming back. And if you're capable of going on a run like this bad, you should be capable of going on a run almost as good. And they did it. This is the same team even without Carey Price, Mike Connors and that Doug, and we did a lot of those games when this team was winning a lot of hockey games.
Yeah, yep. No, that's why it's shocking me. But let me clarify something, Jason, I don't think Therrien's going to be fired because of what Nick says.
I don't think
he will be. I'm saying I think he should be. No, that's what I'm saying.
Well, I know what you're saying. It's just, what else can you do right now with this group?
That's the only reason I'm going there.
I know that's why you're saying it, but if you fire him, I just don't know how that changes. Somebody comes in right. And it's a new message.
Typically, as a player, and Jason, you've been in that room, it's a reset for a lot of guys.
But you still don't and have Carey Price, though.
And a relief.
It's a reset.
But you don't have the most important piece that's not there, and that's
exactly.
Carey Price.
And you know what? Mike Sullivan was missing some important pieces when he took over in Pittsburgh, too. And all of a sudden today, they're in
but
the playoffs.
You also have to be smart enough to say that our issues run deeper than the goaltending. Now, Condon, if you look over the last few weeks, you can sit there and go, he was very good. But the other guy at the other end was fantastic, and he might have ended up being a goal away from a win, you know? So mm-hmm. Let me ask you about the start on Scrivens last night. Right, call?
Oh,
I know the guy beside me and how he felt, but I'm sitting there going, Condon wasn't your biggest issue here.
Jeez.
He was, we did a pack on him last night, guys, and he just right from the get-go, he came out to start the game, and the team wasn't behind him, and then he was checking his stick out, and then the first couple of shots, he just didn't look relaxed. And for Scrivens is a veteran guy. He played for the Edmonton Oilers when they were going through streaks like this. I thought it was a good hunch. Obviously, it backfired on them. That was a great opportunity for Scrivens to come in and resurrect his career, and now all of a sudden he's just put himself further down the depth chart where they're probably, hey, maybe they bring in another goaltender after the All-Star break, because it sure looks like Scrivens just, he doesn't have it right now. And one thing to your point, though, just to go back on perhaps changing the coach. Nick, you played on teams where you had coaching changes. I have. You get to a point as a player where you kind of wait for something to happen, don't you?
Totally.
You just wait and you say, okay, something's got to give here. Who's getting traded? Who's getting fired? And it's like, there were times in that game last night where I was watching, it looked like the Montreal Canadiens were just kind of waiting for the next shoe to fall.
From one to the other. Thanks for doing this, Jason.
Thanks, Jason. We've got
Stan Bowman standing by. We will chat again, hopefully talking about a turnaround in Montreal. There's Jason York, the NHL on Sportsnet, Montreal Canadiens analyst on Sportsnet, as we bring in Stan Bowman, the general manager of the Chicago Blackhawks.
So let's pick this up. Stan, what would you do to fix the Montreal Canadiens?
How you doing, Nick?
How are you?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Congratulations on the new deal.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm excited to be back, or not back, but continue on. We've got a great thing going here in Chicago, and I love being part of it.
So you had a couple years left. Take me through the process and how that comes about with tagging on the three more years.
Well, I was honored that they approached me, and Rocky Wirtz and John McDonough, both felt that they wanted to have some continuity going forward with our group here. We've been able to get Joel locked up, and we've got a lot of our key players locked up long term, and we're certainly excited about where we are as a franchise. But I think we're looking at many more years together, and we feel we have more to accomplish as a group. So we've had a good stretch of years here, but I think what can define you as a franchise is continued success, not short term, but we want to try to improve on where we're at and keep getting better. And to do that, you want to have some continuity in place. I think historically, when you look back at franchises that have done well, they've had the key players in place for a long time, both from the ownership to the management to the coaching staff. We have elements of that here as well, and we want to try to keep this going.
I remember Scotty Bowman calling me doing some checking on salary ranges when you were negotiating as a young director of hockey operations. Is he still research for you, or are you on your own now?
Well, I was asking him for advice. I don't know if he's doing too much of the heavy lifting from that regard.
He was doing heavy lifting the day he phoned me.
He's too busy watching the show.
Yeah, no, he's on top of it like always. I'm sure you guys know that. He
totally
watches lots of games, and I'm pretty fortunate to have him here on my side, and someone I can contact all the time for lots of resources. I mean, he's
pretty cool.
Happened in a game of hockey, he's seen it.
So, Stan, in this crazy salary cap world, you've been able to keep your core group together, even though that you've lost some parts along the way for various reasons, money being the biggest issue. You've won cups. You just signed your coach to a long-term deal. How come you're so low-key? How come you're not talked about more amongst the better guys in the league? Should you not have a bulletin board up in Chicago endorsing something?
I leave that to other people. I mean, I think what I always look at the people, someone I look up to is Ken Holland, and he sort of just goes about his business. And, I learned from my dad a long time ago that, you just got to worry about yourself, do a good job, and the rest sort of takes care of itself. And you can't be out getting too caught up in the media or in, the public. You have a job to do, and you got to work hard at it. And I take pride in that. And I've got a great staff here. That certainly it's not a one man show here. We've been able to accomplish a lot as a group, but it's because I have a lot of people that I rely upon. Whether it's Al Mikhaizek, Norm McIver, Mark Kelly, Ryan Stewart. The names go on. And the guy my dad worked a lot with, Barry Smith, he works with our development. So, there's a lot of reasons we've had success, and I'm just a part of it. So, like I said, we have a lot of work still to do. We have high expectations internally, and we want to continue to be a strong franchise for years to come.
A few years ago in the playoffs, there was a ton of questions about Joel Quenneville and the relationship between Joel and management. Sometimes it's blown out of proportion. What has happened that Joel now has become the guy? There's no questions asked. And what's the secret? I know he's got great players. I get that. Taves and Kane, and he's lucky to have those guys. But there's more to Joel than that for all the success he's had.
Yeah, you're right, Doug. I think sometimes those things definitely get overblown, and you can't weigh in on every incorrect rumor that's out there, or you'll be weighing in every day on things. But I'm not sure where those come from. There's never been an issue. I mean, Joel's done a great job the entire time he's been in Chicago, and even before he got here, he's had a long career as a coach. I think what makes Joel great is he finds a way to tap into those great players and get a lot out of them. I think that's always, for me, been the measure of a great coach.
It was Scotty's magic.
To my dad over the years.
Yeah.
It's not easy to coach really talented and star players sometimes. They're almost harder to coach because they've got so much ability, and they're not necessarily programmable like some of your less talented guys. And I think, but as a coach, at the end of the day, your best player is your fourth line center, you're not going to win too many games. You got to find a way to get your top guys playing, and Joel's done a great job of that.
Just a note, Stan, a lot of those rumors come from Doug McClain. So
Stan Bowman chatting with us, the general manager of the Chicago Blackhawks, who are leading the tough Central Division back on track, trying to get back to another Stanley Cup championship series and win another Stanley Cup. Darren Millard with Nick Kiprios and Doug McClain on Hockey Central at noon.
Hey, Stan, we've been privileged to a couple of great series over the years with your club, especially against the LA Kings. Now moving forward, do you now sit there and if you're going to tweak anything, is it about beating a team like that, or is it broader than that?
Yeah, I think obviously we have had some great battles, and they're another team that's had a series of years of high performance here in the playoffs. So you notice that they're a tough opponent. But I think that's probably getting a little too far ahead of yourselves. And we've got a tough test here in the Central Division. we're just focused on getting in the playoffs at this point. You know, it's still early, but and then once you do get in the playoffs, you've got a couple rounds before you would even potentially face Los Angeles. So, it's a fair question, and you know, certainly they're a formidable opponent, but we've got some tough tests right here in our own division. We've seen that the last couple of years. I think each team plays a little bit of a different style. I think there's some teams like LA and in St. Louis probably have a similar profile, and then there's some teams that play differently. But in order to have a long run in the playoffs, you have to be able to play more than one style. And you also have to really do what you do well. And, last year I look at it, Tampa was totally different than Anaheim when we we started off having to play different ways as a team and be successful. So it's a challenge, and I think you can't focus too much just on one team.
So you're a genius, and you just told us Joel's a genius, and then you lost to Carolina last night. So even geniuses have off days, and star players have off days. So what's it like around the Chicago Blackhawks when you have a tough game in Florida, a tough game in Carolina? What's the mood? We know how the mood is in Montreal. We know how it is in certain places. What's it like with a top team when you start to miss a couple beats here, Stan?
Well, Doug, how it's like. You can't get too high or too low over one or two games. I mean, we certainly didn't have it last night. I mean, it wasn't really even a close contest, and we struggled as well in Florida. We played pretty good in Tampa the other night. That was a tight game, and we didn't quite get it done. But we had come off that long stretch of victories consecutively, and it was just a bad effort all around. I mean, we've played more games than any other team. You know, it's strange when you look at the standings, and we've played 6-7 games more than some teams in the same time frame. That's almost unheard of.
Yeah,
I don't know
sure
why that is, but we've played so much hockey here that we just didn't have it last night. And so when that happens, you have to refocus and move past it and look at the next game and come back energized and excited for our game in Colorado next Tuesday. And, it's not easy to see your team not play well, but I don't know that we ever get too high or too low, even in a streak when we won 12 games in a row. I can't say that we were really flying high. We were playing well, but it wasn't that much different than it is today, and right, I think you have to try to maintain that balance.
Hey, Stan, we got the All-Star Weekend coming up. It's not a secret that there's a few general managers that would prefer their star players resting the next few days. You have your guys going. Do you have to remind them to have fun, but try to find some rest for the push here?
Yeah, I think they're pretty smart, and they've been through this before, and also, like I said, we've played a lot of games compared to this. So luckily our post All-Star schedule is more favorable. So that's the flip side of it being taxing the beginning part. We've only got 29 games left here. So I think the guys know that we're going to have to really buckle down over the next 2 months and prepare ourselves for the stretch drive. So I don't worry too much about them. They understand how to handle themselves and prepare.
What about the 3-on-3 tournament? Will you watch it?
Yeah, I certainly there's a lot of excitement around that. When you get to an overtime game, you can see what can happen. There's a lot of playmaking. It's all skill based. I mean, there's, I guess you can get tired because you're out there for a long shift, but it's not taxing physically in terms of body checking or the like. So, it showcases the skill and the talent in our game, and anytime you can do that, I think the fans are going to have fun with it.
Before we let you go, a couple of guys that you've worked with within the Chicago Blackhawks organization, Mark Bergevin, Kevin Cheveldayoff, both going through challenging times with their organizations right now, trying to get their teams back into playoff contention. What would you say to them right now as a buddy or than a colleague?
Well, I think in tough times you have to try to remain positive and remain strong. It's easy to feed into the negativity. There's certainly plenty of it in the media, and when your fan bases are disappointed that their teams aren't where they would like to be, and I think in those tough times that's when you have to, I know Burge did that last week, trying to get his guys pumped up that, it hasn't been the season they wanted yet, but there's still time. And I think same thing in Winnipeg. They had a big win, and sometimes it just takes one game to turn things around. So, I know both those guys very well. They're very great hockey guys. They have great hockey minds, and it was fun working with them. And I'm sure they'll turn things around as time goes on.
Would you tell Chevy to keep Bufflin and trade Ladd, or trade?
You know
he's
them
traded
both. Both
of them.
Yeah, you know them both.
Stan,
yeah.
Get rid of both.
We want to hear your advice, Dan.
Yeah, well, I remember that was actually Chevy's first year with us, and we had a tough sledding there. We won the Cup the first year, so that was the exciting part. And then we get to the draft, and we had to make lots of moves, and he was part of that when we made those moves, trading them to Atlanta at the time. And I'm not sure what he's going to do. That's something that I'm sure he'll figure out and make the right choices. But that's the part of the game that's tough. I mean, we'd love to keep all our guys, but sometimes you have to make changes and look forward, not look backwards.
Nobody's put in tougher positions than you coming off those championships, and you keep bouncing back and having a team in contention. Thanks for doing this. Congratulations on the deal. And are you going to take any time, downtime over the All-Star break?
There's never much downtime, as you know. Yeah. I'm just going to ask Doug about that. We have our amateur scouting meetings coming up. So although the team is off during the break, we're going to be working and preparing for the draft. So we got lots of work ahead of us, and there's never a dull moment for the management side.
Tell me you're going someplace warm for the meetings, though.
Yeah, we are going to go somewhere warm. Well, we're actually going out to the prospect game first out in Vancouver, so we get a chance to see some of those guys that playing in the top prospect game, and then we go from there to some meetings. So
Mark Bergevin's already out there. He's at the Canucks game last night, so you guys will be able to maybe cross paths. Thanks for doing this, and good luck.
Congrats,
right,
Stan.
Thanks, guys.
Congrats.
Stan Bowman with Darren Millard, Nick Kiprios, and Doug McLean. Where do teams like Arizona, Florida, Tampa Bay go for their scouting meetings? If all the other teams go south, where do they go?
Collingwood, Whistler.
Whistler would be great.
Banff.
Someone's
cold.
What they typically do is go a half hour out away from their arena to a hotel they get a deal on.
Nick?
But you're saying nobody's been in tougher situations than Stan having to make changes after Stanley Cups. Guys would really like to have those tough calls to make.
No, but they're tough. Dean Lombardi was in a tough position.
But it's a great.
And he said he learned so much.
Yeah.
About there's limits to how loyal you can be.
I know. But it's a great position to be in.
But when you have to make those decisions, you have to make them sooner than later. And I think that the one thing in Winnipeg is that they let this Bufflin Ladd thing drag out way too long. And now they've made this decision that they're going to try to sign Bufflin, when really that decision should have been done a long time ago.
Except the problem is you hope as it goes on that there's a change of heart in the camps, that maybe they would rather stay than go, and because of that the negotiation becomes
a little
easier. Stayed.
They could have had Bufflin year deal.
I'm talking more Ladd.
Okay.
That they were hoping that maybe it would come around, both from an agent, and I don't even know who Ladd's agent is, but hoping that Ladd would say, hey, I want to be here and I want to get this done.
The
that
issue with Bufflin now, they want to sign Bufflin now. The issue now is that the contract that you could have had him in the summer isn't going to get it done now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They could have had Bufflin for 3 or 4 years.
J.P. Barry.
They did not have to go long-term with him. I think he was willing to sign a shorter-term contract if you were up around $7.5 million, maybe $8 million on a 3-year deal, which would have, maybe you're thinking you're paying him $500,000 too much, but 3 years would have been great. Mm-hmm. Don't you agree?
Three years would have been great. I don't like the $7.5 million. I don't like it, but they're probably going to end
up
there.
But for 3 years, you'll
pay a little more.
And they could have had that in the summer.
I find $7.5 million for Bufflin, me and you argued. I go back to PK at $9 million. I hated the deal at the time. I didn't like it. I just think I know they were caught. They didn't have a choice, I guess. But I don't know. Top I don't like Bufflin at $7.5
million.
I know, but
Norris Trophy
I don't
guys
like,
make $9 million.
I know.
A year.
I don't have Bufflin as a Norris Trophy guy. I don't have him as a Norris Trophy guy. I don't think he needs to get to nine. I don't have him in the top seven Norris Trophy guys. Probably, if I really did a list, I don't think I'd have him.
I know he's a special player.
I know he is special.
He's special.
Impactful.
He's
on
special.
A nightly basis.
I don't have him as a Norris Trophy guy.
He's intimidating.
Do you have him in the top 7-8? I don't.
I'd have to really look at my list, but he'd be darn close.
I'm not disagreeing. I think he's impactful.
Be really close.
I think he's a really good player. I don't have him in that
range. He's a game changer.
And they're out of the playoffs.
You don't think he's a game changer?
Yeah, he is. He is. But he's they're out of the playoffs with these guys. Probably Bufflin has helped them keep close, I guess. You know, Bufflin's been good. I agree. I give you that. I think he's good. I like him as a player. I don't have him as an Norris Trophy candidate. I don't have him as, and I don't have him as a $7.5 million player.
We would have 750 players playing for free if you were the commissioner of the league. I mean, nobody deserves one dime.
If you have to be in the playoffs to win the Norris right now, Carlson's out, PK's out, Bufflin's out. Mm-hmm. Drew Doughty's finally going to win this thing.
I just say I don't have him in that group. That's all.
We are going to chat about the Ottawa Senators and some comments that head coach Dave Cameron made last night. Yes.
Dale Carnegie has got to move into Ottawa and make some money. How to win friends and influence people. I remember my Bantam coach telling me that.
That will make sense when you hear the comments from Dave Cameron following last night's loss to the Buffalo Sabres. Plus, we'll tee up a couple of games on Sportsnet tonight, the Leafs and the Lightning, and the Calgary Flames finish their pre-All-Star break schedule against the Nashville Predators. That's all when we continue on Hockey Central News, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet, the NHL network in the U.S.
Because hockey hasn't completely taken over your life yet. Subscribe to podcasts of Hockey Central at Noon through iTunes or your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
We're going to get to this in just a minute, the Dave Cameron sound from last night, but tonight's schedule in the NHL, four games as we go into the NHL All-Star Weekend, Toronto and Tampa Bay on Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey, as well as Sportsnet 590, The Fan. 7 o'clock face-off, Hockey Central sets you up, coming out of Tim and Sid at 6:30. On Sportsnet 1 tonight, the Calgary Flames need this badly at home to the Nashville Predators, one of the teams that they are chasing right now, trying to climb back there. Right now, 10 points out of a playoff spot in the Western Conference behind the wild card leading Minnesota Wild and Colorado Avalanche. They are deadlocked for that wild card position.
Just one thing before you go on. We've got to mention, and I'm really disappointed you didn't bring this up, Darren.
We have 30 minutes left of the show.
When were you going to talk about the kid that got the hat trick in Winnipeg last night, Ehlers?
We have time.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure
I was
you
talking
didn't
about the big win.
I didn't want to forget.
You guys wanted to dwell in the negative.
A rookie gets a hat trick. It's a nice accomplishment.
Listen, I mean,
score five goals.
Yeah. We feel bad that your team has struggled this year.
So do I.
But, you know, there's people that want to know why.
And I would, I'm a Halifax Moosehead, well, after the Charlottetown Islander, after St. John's Sea Dog.
You're a Moosehead fan.
I'm a Maritime Junior fan.
No, you're just a Moosehead fan. It has nothing to do with hockey, though.
That's true.
That's what I can tell you. So the Ottawa Senators lose last night, going to the All-Star break on a down note. And not only do you have to carry that around with you for 5 days, knowing that you're 3 points out of a playoff spot, but in the back of your mind, you're hearing the words of Dave Cameron and his post-game media conference. Have a listen to this. And while you do, imagine, put yourself in the position of being an Ottawa Senator player as you hear this.
Or general manager.
It was second tier. We didn't play till we were behind. Probably the word to describe it the best from my point of view is frustrating. You see them perform the way they did against a real good team in the Rangers and come in against another good team in Buffalo, and there's just a huge drop-off. And it's frustrating, and for me it's almost like it's too hard for some guys to play the right way every night. And we're 50-some games in here. We're getting close. That was 59, I think, was it? And we said at the start of the year we'll know what we are in terms of players. And right now, when you drop off like that, and that's not the first time we've done it, I'm starting to think it might be too hard for guys to be able to play every night in the National Hockey League at a high level.
Little snippet of Dave Cameron post-game.
He was fine at frustrated.
Yes.
And then he just should have just...
Left. And went to his office.
Left. But that...
He needs...
Those last few comments, I'm watching the news last night. I'm watching Sports Central.
Sportsnet Central.
Yes. And I had to look at my dog and say, what did he just say?
What did Tux answer?
Tux, what did he just say? Did he just say that it's too hard for these group of guys to get it and they are what they are? Because as a player, and that's the only feeling I've ever come across broadcasting for 18 years, I'm saying to myself, how do I go to the rink tomorrow and have my coach look at me with a feeling like this is as good as I'll ever get? And I don't really have what it takes to bring it most nights. I don't know. I listen.
Do players talk about that player to player?
Love Dave Cameron's passion for the game, but that emotion gets himself into some trouble, I think.
Okay, so how does it affect the room? Is it a conversation within that room, Nick?
Without a doubt. 100%. Guys will be sitting there talking about those comments and how those comments make them feel.
There was another comment mentioned, and it was mentioned slow learners, that, you know, they're slow learners to get the grasp, the concept of playing. So, look, first of all, I consider Dave Cameron a friend. I've known him my whole life, and I've lived leaving a dressing room and leaving your office after a brutal loss. He said Buffalo Rangers are a good team. We beat them 3-0, and Buffalo's a good team. No, Buffalo's not a good team. Buffalo's 29th in the league, and you're playing them at home. That's a must win. That's a W you've got in your chart. But I've lived the fact that you have to leave your office and go and speak to the media, and it's an awful feeling when you're walking to talk to the media after a brutal loss. It's an awful feeling. But the one thing I would say to Dave, if I could tell him, is be short, don't snarl, which I used to do, and it got me in a ton of trouble, and be as brief as you can be, and talk about the game or the style of game, but stay away from getting into the depth he got into. I think he talked too much.
That doesn't do us any good.
No, it doesn't do us any good, but it does Dave. I could care less about us.
I
care about Dave, yeah. Because if I'm the general manager, listen to that, I'm not a happy camper, and the players aren't happy. So there's no value in it. So my advice is cut it back to a third of what he said and get the hell out of there.
Now, if he's saying the same thing inside the room to those players, is that okay?
No, I would think that whatever he said publicly was still in a manner that was much more friendlier than what's said behind closed doors.
Dave,
is this the Mike Babcock theory?
But Dave,
if he's saying it to the player, he feels he can say it to the media.
But you know what? I'll tell you this about Dave. Dave would have said it to the players. There's no doubt in my mind he would have said it to the players, and that's why you respect him. But you know what? What you say to the play, I disagree. What you say to the players, you're not okay to say
no,
to the
you're
media.
Not. You're not.
You're
and,
not.
You know, you sit there and say those are great sound bites for us, and it's great for the ratings.
Tongue in cheek, obviously.
Yeah, right. But you know, it's no different than me and you or Doug and I. We're behind scenes, the way we talk to each other sometimes. You can't do it on air too. You can't. It's just
you do.
It's I know
you
Blue Moore,
personal.
And I've apologized to him on a few occasions, but you can't be that honest because it's embarrassing your players. Okay, you're calling them slow. You're calling them unprofessional to not be able to come to the rink every night and play a certain way. I mean, it's embarrassing for some of the things that are said inside a room to be said publicly. You don't do that. And it's not honesty is honesty in this situation. It's like Doug said, less is more. Go out there, talk about the style of play, talk about what they did that you guys couldn't match up, whatever it is. But don't start getting into those personal details and those issues that you may have with your players or with Brian Murray, because these are the players that Brian has given Dave Cameron. So that's another thing too, is that, you know, it puts Brian in an uncomfortable position as well, those type of comments.
You know what you need? I'll tell you what's really important when you're a coach in the NHL is when you're walking from your office to the podium, you need an unbelievably strong PR guy with you. You need a really strong guy. And I had a couple of really strong guys, and they used to warn me. They used to warn me walking, Doug, I know you're emotional. I know you're upset. Be careful what you say.
I wouldn't have said a word to you. I'd be scared.
No, but you need that. And it sometimes it didn't make any difference. But you need it. And especially for Dave's emotional, he's like you said, he's got passion. He's a good hockey man. He's a good coach. Just don't cause yourself unneeded aggravation. Well, and that's what he's done today.
They're into the All-Star break. The Toronto Maple Leafs will play their last game before the hockey world scatters. The elite going to the All-Star weekend in Nashville. And Mike Babcock, plan is to chat with him off the top of the show tonight about just what's happened lately, this slide and how you turn around. Trade deadline is
coming
interview.
Up.
Oh, yeah. It'll be we're going to grill him. No. But curious. They've slipped into another slump. And is this because of the impending trade deadline season?
Oh, listen,
or is it just
it's
losing JVR?
It's a lot. Yeah.
Mount
Europa. All of it can be credited. But the thing is over 82 games, you're not going to be able to bring it every night. And we know how important attention to detail is. We know how important it is to be focused for these guys when you don't have the talent that matches up with most, if not all, teams. You have to be 100% there. And it's just taking your foot off the gas pedal a little bit. They lack talent, okay? And talent most often prevails as long as, you know, your work ethic's there and a little bit of structure. And most nights, the better team wins.
Matt Hunwick has to work on his goaltending skills. Kind of jumped out of the way, the one goal.
I didn't see that. I was doing Montreal.
Are you sure that was
Was it not Hunwick?
Marinson.
Okay.
Yeah. I was doing Montreal, right. Columbus. I didn't get a chance to see much of the Leafs game or Ottawa.
The scenario for the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight is much different. They need these 2 points. Pivotal in the Eastern Conference. But you've also got this horde of media, and I wonder how much distraction there is around that room. Are you surprised Jonathan Drouin has not been traded?
No.
Last week?
No, we said, I think I might have said that like, hey, just take a break. I'll call you when I got a deal. Mm-hmm.
See,
I think
that's a mistake.
Well, because it's not, I don't think it's a punishment. I think it's, I've got to get the right deal here. I'm not giving them away, and they've put themselves in a situation where they've caused
Would you trade Dumba for Drouin?
You know what I would do? You know what I would do if I was Drouin's camp? I would fly to Tampa or fly to Toronto, and I'd meet with Steve Yzerman and say, we got to fix this. Let's fix this.
Or the All-Star break.
Yeah, I'd try to fix it.
Madison.
That's what I would try to do.
And
get back playing.
He should be playing.
Get back playing and then reevaluate where he is. That's what I would do.
I'm sure Steve Yzerman's going to be at the top prospects game of Vancouver. He's watching on Sportsnet. Alan Walsh, just slide up.
Yeah, Steve Yzerman is a sensible guy. Alan Walsh is a reasonably sensible guy. I'm kidding, Al. Don't send me a text.
I don't think it's fixable.
I'm kidding.
Well, you know what, Nick? Everything's fixable. Everything's fixable. There's been some disasters that have happened. You said it on the show last week. There's been unbelievably disasters that can be fixed.
Yeah, man, you move on. You know, you just got to move on.
Hockey Central at 6:30 Eastern time, Tampa Bay and Toronto just after 7, and then you've got on Sportsnet 1, Calgary against Nashville. The name of your book, it came to me. Doug McLean, I'm kidding.
You know what?
I've said that. I've said that forever.
But isn't it?
I'm kidding.
It's been a very thoughtful show today. There was not a lot of foolishness. It was thoughtful, thought-provoking commentary.
Darren and I are going to Nashville. That's why we're just, you know what? We're taking that.
And you know what? Nick's going to wear a cowboy hat.
And Doug
He's
is
going to wear a cowboy hat.
Doug, All-Star break.
Doug is taking a